Ology, and Bonnie.
Here.
Layla.
Here.
Myself is present, and Jim is on his way, and Kathy's present. We're going to dispense with the flag salute, and being that there is no representation from CSEA or ETA, then Mr. Larson is here. Mr. Larson, now you can take the floor and present your comment.
Okay, I have 3 minutes? Okay. So I'm Mr. Larson, parent of a child who attends the school district. Number one, I received a very vile letter from this school district, very vile. And it's caused me a lot of health issues. And I did respond to it about a month and a half ago, and I got no reply. In this letter, which I copied all the school board members, I explained many things were false. And I asked for the school board members, which I trust and admire, to look into it. Because when you check into it, there's falsehoods. Once you find a falsehood in that letter, then you know everything else is probably false too. Okay, so there's been many things that have been said about me that are extremely negative and vile that have caused me health issues. How's that helped the LCAP? Okay? And I want to talk about this. I want you to hear this. We're losing sight with what parents do and how it takes a lot of courage to come in here and speak to you. We've lost that. The school teachers are not happy here. There's a lot of problems with this district. It did win the exemplary school district, but that was a subjective award. First time in history. It was subjective. So it's not just the teachers, it's the parents. I talk to parents. They come to me. I'm a member of LAVAS, a parent group, because they're afraid. Okay? Case in point, Dove Hill Elementary School. Many parents came to me, health condition issues. Okay, they spoke a year ago at school board meeting, health issues. Finally, somebody filed a complaint with the state. We went out, they went out, they found like 100 health issues. Okay, so this was not being responded to properly. Now getting back to the vile letter, I'm gonna state again publicly, I want a response. I want those things checked out. And in closing, that vile letter had to do with not informing parents, again, we're back to parents, that at New Tech Network Schools, Tathan R. Smith, which is out of 5,400 schools, it's ranked in the bottom 200. Okay? They're not using textbooks. So the school district says, oh no, they're using textbooks. Oh no, they're using textbooks. Oh no, 5% of the time. Okay? And that's against federal law for second language learners. Okay? So I don't want to hear, oh, we use textbooks. When I attended the meeting, which I received the vile letter back, I asked the teacher who teaches math, because my son is going to that school, this school. Okay? There's a meeting for New Tech Network with that new building over there. I'm almost done. I said, hey, how much do you use the math book? Because my son maybe want to go to that school. It's a secondary school, school within a school, New Tech Network. Teacher goes, oh yeah, we use it. So I said, that's not what I hear. I have other parents that I talk with. They say we're not using it. Oh no, we use it. I said, okay, well, how much do you use it? 15% of the time. 1/5. Okay? So I don't think that's good enough. And it may be legal, but we're losing a lot of people to charter schools, and you're not listening to the parents. And I asked this school district, and I got no reply. Mr. DeGuara is heading up the instruction. I said, are we telling these parents that we're not using the textbooks in these New Tech Network schools? Or we are using it, excuse me, but 15% or less, or maybe not at all. And I did not get a response from the director of instruction. So I did say, last sentence, I said, you can turn it off. I said to this school district, we have to have an informational to these parents before they go to New Tech Network, before they go to K.R. Smith, how much are we using the textbooks? Then if they want to go to New Tech Network, that's fine. If we're using them 15% or not at all, we need to inform parents.
Thank you. Okay, now we go on to consent items.
Okay. Consent action items. 3.1, approval of board meeting minutes, June 14, 2018. 3.2, approval of board special minutes, June 21, 2018. 3.3, approval of personnel report. 3.4, ratification of contracts. 3.5, ratification of due warrant list. 3.6, ratification of facilities use agreement. 3.7, approval of Williams quarterly report. Q2, 3.8, approval of pre-qualified general contractors.
Second.
I have a speaker on one of those items.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any?
Yeah, I can give her.
You have speaker cards?
Yeah, go just pass them down to you. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Larson, you want to speak to 2.3?
3.5.
3.5? Okay.
Okay, 3.5, ratification of June warrant list. Okay, this district stated by the school board, the school district superintendent, which was incorrect, is in debt $16 million. Well, that's all changed. It's fluctuating. Now I think we're in debt $6 million. It's called deficit spending, which is good, okay? But there's an actual letter. It's on the school district website. This is not a made-up fact or figure. It's an actual letter presented to the general public or to the school board, which is general information. Okay, I don't believe these school board members, God bless you and I greatly respect you, are looking at the warrant list. I have found $17,000 in where like four or five school board members have gone to an event in Arizona. $17,000. That doesn't go to the parent, that doesn't go to the children. This is on the warrant lists. The warrant list lists things being spent. I've copied this, this is just one example. I've copied this, took a lot of effort. I requested public information where I got the actual invoice and I sent it to all you school board members. Then I see another warrant list, leis, you know those Hawaiian leis? $1,500. Okay, that's for end of school activity. Fine, maybe it's donated. We don't know as a parent if we get that money back, if we buy it, then somebody replenishes us. We have no way of knowing. So my comment, this is very important for you because we're losing students because the district is getting a bad reputation for being in deficit. Okay? Serious reputation. So what I recommend you do is you school board members need to take an hour every month, an hour, and go through this warrant list and check every item. You know, and look at them. Now I find all kinds of other things that are ridiculous spending. Okay? And I'm almost done. This is not being done, and there's tremendous waste of money, all right? Plus, we've cut all the English language learner helpers this year. We've cut art prep, which is ridiculous for sixth grade teachers. Enough said, but you're not reviewing the warrant list clever enough. Number two, get that review before you order the products. Have it submitted. Is this a possibility? Okay, we'll approve that. Instead, you're buying it. Then you're just, as a formality, approving it all, just like we were going to skip at this meeting, right? So when you're in deficit, $16 million, now it's $6 million, that's a major problem. You know, that means the state could take you over if you go beyond three. So get, I'm going to be harsher, but get it together. Look at the warrant list. You're not doing that. I'm blankly telling you that. Okay, the next thing is, and I'm almost done, regarding the warrant list. I want the credit cards shown on there. I want all the credit cards for the assistant superintendent. I'm going to be real nice here. All the directors, the superintendent, I want that all listed under an item, their name, credit card use, how much they spend this year. And this is an important point I'm making, I want to know whose lunches they're buying for. For if, for example, we're buying with a credit card with money due to the school district to be paid for children to buy pencils, and if we go to a fancy restaurant, we spend $400, who's there? Are we buying lunches for people who work for the school district? So I want all this checked, and I'm asking you to go through the credit cards, find out what lunches were done, who is at the meeting, and I want to know the amount. And last comment, we've had some misinformation, which I've been helping, last comment, I've been helping all the parents. Hey, we're not spending $800,000 on travel and expenses. Okay, this is on Nextdoor and everything. So I'm your helper. I go back, and I got clarification from Mr. Crosby yesterday, because I asked him, it's $300,000. So I'll make sure as a parent, I say, no, that's incorrect. It's not $800,000, it's $300,000. See, I'm a positive for you. I'm a helper. I'm still not sure if that's accurate, though, but we'll find out.
Thank you, Mr. Morrison. Okay. So now we're going to begin our 4.1 item.
We need to approve it.
A motion and a second.
Okay, any discussion?
I just want, Mr. Larson, you said $17,000 School board members went on traveling.
This was, I sent the copy of the invoice to all school board members. I still have a copy at home. It says $17,500. It was for five, thank you very much. It's five people who work in the district office. I'm sorry, I greatly respect all of you guys. You know, I misspoke there. I correct the record. It's five directors that work in this office and maybe a principal or two. And it's for travel all the time. I mean, there's like $17,000 to go down to Arizona. It has to do with New Tech Network, a lot of this. So it all has to be, I'm almost done. I'm gonna say what, just give me 10 seconds. It has to do with accountability. I'm finding the warrant list. I'm finding invoices. I'm finding $17,000. And I wanna make this clear. So long as you school board members approve it and say, great, go do it, I'm fine. But if this is happening, and this is very crucial for you here, only one person from this district signs off on the money. It can be one of four people, one of four. They just sign it. You want the invoice? I'll sign it. There you go. Bye-bye. You have to have two people sign it. And one should be a school board member. There's a problem with spending here. And it's just unbelievable.
We still need to vote.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the chair says that motion passes. Okay, now we can go on to 4.1. RCSB governance work session, and thank you. Welcome.
I have a public comment.
I have to do this.
Oh, that's fine.
Luanne Berman?
Rivera.
And Dan Dudley and Daryl Kemp. Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks for letting us be here in that circle.
Welcome to our district.
Okay, so we have about 10 parents or more who are not coming today. Why are they not coming? Because it says, first off, and I want to make this clear, we did not see the agenda. I know Mr. Crosby says it was posted. It's fine. It was posted. It was there. No problem. But we checked we just didn't see the agenda for this meeting. Secondly, the agenda is, I believe, in violation of the Brown Act. So I'm not sure. I'm not an expert. I'm not a know-it-all. A regular person here with a child that attends a school district, not a know-it-all. Here's what it says today, and I want you to look at 4.1. 4.1, CSBA governance work session. We don't know what that is. And we're concerned. There's a lot of parents that if they have the money, the homes are $1 million. Every home is $980,000, the homes here. So all you do is you just take a loan out of your home and put your child in private school. The homes are worth $1 million, every home here. So if we're concerned about what's going on with the district and you're gonna, quote, in my opinion, hide what you're doing, because that's what it is for me. It's hiding what you're doing. Why aren't you being being straight up and saying, we're gonna talk about the LCAP today. Okay, I got one more minute. This should state on here what you're talking about on the governance session. This may be against the Brown Act. I'd like these fine people to find out and get back to the district. Number two, LCAP. About a year ago, I attended the LCAP meeting. I was the only one here. I was the only parent. I went with Mr. DeGuar, he can verify. I was the only parent to attend the meeting at this. I drove up, Ruth Rattle was there. I was the only parent to attend the LCAP meeting. That's it, just me. I spoke for an hour with Mr. DeGuar, and quite frankly, I didn't fill out one of those little forms, but I sent a letter in, and I sent all my opinions about the LCAP. 2 years ago, the superintendent, Ms. Gomez, stated at a meeting, it was called the Parent Advisory Committee, and it was discontinued. It's no longer in existence. But when I asked, and it took bravery for me to do this, tell me about the LCAP, I was told by Ms. Gomez, and she can verify it or not, it's a formality. Okay, I brought that back to the school board and let them know it's a formality, you know, like, no, it's not a formality. You know, that's what I was told. Okay, now, other people were there too. I'm not being told this alone, so. So what's the problem with the LCAP is we received the most, and I got another, 20 seconds. We received the exemplary award for the school district, but we're in really bad shape. We don't have enough computers, etc. We've talked to them over and over. Where's the computers? We can't do day on the code. There's no computers. The fifth grade, all the fifth graders, I told the school board this 5-6 times, they don't have computers. They have one computer card for 5 fifth grade classes. And the teachers really, in my opinion, don't want to use the computers. We don't need them. We've been doing this for a lot of years, you know. That's another story. So the problem with the LCAP, and I want to make this clear, is we're not being heard or listened to. And so I want the LCAP to come alive. And I want you all to know that right now it's bogus, it's expertly written, but it has no parent input of any value at all. It's manipulated, and it does not represent the heartbeat of the school district. And last statement, 3 seconds, because I always have a solution. Go back to the town hall meeting. We had 500 people. The last time we had one, the superintendent decided not to go. No offense to her, Dan DeGuara headed up. Go back to the town hall meeting. Let the directors go back to work. They can't be having 100 meetings on LCAP. And last comment, we need a new report card. We need all the computers fixed up. We need all the textbooks to be used. I get workbooks. It's very important. I have workbooks. I have 3 workbooks at home for my child. They're all empty. They're used 5%, 20%. That's it. So we need for the directors to go back to work. The LCAP just needs to be done one night, 2 nights. Have a big town hall meeting. Done.
Okay. Well, we can have a second.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'm Luanne Berman Rivera, and I spoke to all of you on the phone, and want to thank you for inviting us here today. And also, I'm going to have Deb and Daryl introduce themselves in a minute. Also, giving them the opportunity to come and observe our workshop. Today, when we set this all up, we talked. It's meant to be a workshop to work on the superintendent's evaluation. Since that time, I've been working with Kathy, and so we put an open session part on this workshop to start out talking about integrating the LCAP, the strategic plan, and the guideline set of goals. And as I spoke to all of you on the phone, you seem to really support that concept. And since this is dealing with the district goals, the strategic plan, and LCAP, this part of the session will be an open session, and then we will move into closed session and do the work that we plan to do on superintendent evaluation. So seeing heads nod, I think that's part of the plan. So let me tell you a little bit about myself, and then I'm gonna have Deb and Daryl introduce themselves. My name, as I said, is Luanne Berman Rivera, and I'm a consultant with California School Boards Association. I've seen some of you at some of our workshops. And so what I do, going back in the history here, I was a board member in Ramona Unified School District in North Inland San Diego County for 16 years. And during that time, I got very involved in leadership at CSBA, was on the Delegate Assembly for many, many years, ran for office, and was elected and served on the Executive Committee and Board of Directors for 4 years and served as president of CSBA in 2006. And since that time, I've been working for the association. I'm a full-time employee of the association. I do workshops like this all over the state. And in addition to that, I'm on the faculty for the Master's in Governance program. I've taught four different sections, foundations for effective governance, and HR, policy, judicial review, and community relations and advocacy. Also, Deb and I are on the faculty for the Institute for New and First-Term Board Members, and we also do the board president's training together. So that's a little bit about who I am and my work. And Deb, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, so I'm Deb Dudley. I was a former school board member at 2 different districts, South Lake Tahoe, up in Lake Tahoe, and then when we moved across the lake, Tahoe Truckee, for a total of 12, a little over 12 years. I can't believe it was that long ago. I used to go to board meetings with my little baby in a backpack, you know, because he was just 2 months old when I was elected to the board. And he's getting married this weekend. Yeah. So, long-standing board member for a very long time. I, like Mr. Larson, was just a concerned parent who felt like I could, if I wanted to put my channel my energy into a way that could really improve our district that had leaky roofs and all kinds of things like that. The last few years I've been working for CSBA around the state, so Luanne and I, one of the perks of our job is that we get to drive for hours and hours from Baker Valley and Brawley all the way up to Eureka, and we work with districts all around the state in helping them understand what their role is, helping them understand good governance practices. So I applaud you all today in taking the time out of your, you know, your busy work schedules to talk about good governance and talk about doing your work in the most expedient way you possibly can. So thanks for letting me observe. I haven't done a superintendent evaluation. I usually do governance workshops. So Darryl and I are both learning from Luann today, who's the pro.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I'm glad you guys are both here. Darryl?
Yeah, so like Deb Dudley said, that I'm here as an observer today. A little bit about me personally. I grew up down the road in Oakland, California, born in San Francisco, and then my first teaching job was a teacher of mathematics at a neighboring high school, James Logan, right down the street. So that's where I cut my teeth in education and got real familiar with teaching, coaching, and becoming an administrator. Like many people, and like Mr. Larson said, the cost of living caught up with me here, and I started to have little kids, and we did what a lot of people do. We went east, right? So we moved to Elk Grove, and now I'm living in the Central Valley in the Modesto area. I'm currently, my day job is the superintendent in Riverbank Unified School District. So officially, I'm off right now. There we go. And I'm embarking on a new part of my career where I'm having a chance to work with CSBA. I'm passionate about this work. I have a lot of different hats. I had the pleasure and currently have the pleasure of sitting on the FICMAC board of directors. I'm also a member of AXA, very much involved in AXA on their board of directors as well. And the CSBA is something that I've always paid a lot of attention to. In my district, out of our 5 board members, 3 have completed the master's in governance. And my philosophy was if my board members win, then I was there. So every time my board members are at CSBA, I'm with them as well. So we can talk about how that theory or that frame matches our district, and we do that in a lot of conversations flying or driving to those different workshops. So CSBA, I completed the master's in the governance about 2015, I think, and like I said, I keep going to different things. So they asked me if I would be interested in joining their government consultant services team, and that's why I'm here today. I'm observing. And then also, I might be involved in the MIG coursework too, probably the Setting the Directions course, probably next year. But we'll see how that goes. And like Deb, I commend you for even doing this. I candidly, I wish my board were had a facilitator to come in to assist with the evaluation process, because it's so important. I just think it's so important for a school district, having the governance team to set the tone for everybody, and the facilitators can help to, you know, blend the multiple perspectives that lend itself to becoming a high-functioning team. So commend you, and thanks again for having us as observers.
Thank you. I do this quite a bit, facilitating workshops on developing criteria as well as pulling together the final document with different teams across the state. So I've taught this aspect of your work at Masters in Governance. And so actually at one point we had a separate workshop that was offered in the springtime on board and superintendent evaluation, and I actually taught that. So it's something that we've done a lot, and I'm thrilled to be here with you to assist that, and I'm really grateful to all of you for giving Deb and Darryl the opportunity to come here and observe. And Deb's actually going to help me chart a little later on today, so we're going to.
As long as you don't criticize my bad hand.
I never do. So that's who we are, and we'd like to take a minute to learn a little bit more about each of you. So if we could start here with Kathy, and just go around the table, and if you would say your name, your position, how long you've been on your in your position, and if you are not an employee of the school district, what you do outside of your district work. So Kathy, let's start with you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. I'm Kathy Gomez, superintendent, starting my 8th year as superintendent. I've been in the district my entire career. I even did my student teaching here 30-something years ago at Holyoke. And,
that's great, Kathy. Thank you.
Sylvia? I'm Sylvia Alvarez. I'm
board member for 16 years. This is my 16th year. I was a teacher in this district before I got elected to the school board, so I taught in this district for 27 years. And I was a parent in the district. That's how I got involved in Title I, because we had a Title I school that was, back then, 50 years ago, we were a farming community.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of farm workers, a lot of Spanish-speaking farm workers who needed, and their families who needed a lot of assistance. And so that's how I got involved.
Great. Well, thank you. Lots of history here in this district.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It's all rural back then. I'm Bonnie Mace. This is my second term. And in my day job, I'm the executive director, as you know, of the Santa Clara County School Boards Association, and I'm also a delegate assembly for CSBA. So for me, governance is really important. I go around the county doing governance, and I thought, hey, let's bring Lou Anne here so we can really be innovative and be the model for the rest of the county. And if we do something here, I'm going to spread out the word to the rest of the county as well.
Ah, publicity for us.
Yeah, exactly. Advertisement. Free advertisement.
Charles Crosby, director of communications and community engagement. And in a couple of weeks, I'll mark 4 years here.
I'm Johanna Villarreal. I've been in this position now for, this is my third year, so I was in business services before this position. So.
Good morning. Dan DeBoer, assistant superintendent. This is my fourth year in this position. Like Kathy, I've been in Evergreen School District my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
I started my student teaching at Cedar Grove and have worked my way through the district.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Balaji Venkatraman. My two sons went to the school district. They are now one in college, one is getting ready to go to college. So, but that's how I got involved. Two other day jobs. I run a business unit for a technology company. And I've been teaching in San Jose State and Santa Clara back and forth for the last 20 plus years.
Great, thank you.
Lila Wells, so I'm completing my second year as a school board member in November. Let's see, I'm retired principal of Evergreen, and I worked half of my career in Franklin McKinley and the other half in Evergreen. I've been a teacher, school counselor, assistant principal, and principal. And I'm really excited about the work that we're going to do today.
Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Jim Zito. Completing my eighth year on the board. 30 years in biotech and global call centers, customer service, so people positions for 30 years. Then took a semi-retirement when they reorganized. Got involved with the board when Sylvia, who's a parishioner with me, had said 8 years ago that there was a lot of concern about the budget and so on, that they were increasing class sizes and so on. So I said, well, maybe I need to get involved. I had three kids that were in the district. My last child just graduated last year out of eighth grade out of Columbia Oak. I'm now an eighth grade math teacher. Gotten back into it and started in the classroom. I figured if I could sit up on the dais, I could also go in the classroom.
There you go.
Walk the walk.
There you go. That's great. Well, thank you all. It's just delightful to be here with all of you. And we're going to move into this part of the session. And Kathy was going to share with us her thoughts on integrating the strategic plan and the LKF and moving forward on that. So, Kathy, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Sure. So, earlier this year, when Bonnie was talking about bringing you in, one of the things she said is maybe we can have a conversation at the same time about the strategic plan. We've been using a strategic plan process for the past 8 years that is very, very specific, and the superintendent evaluation had been tied to it. And I think there's a desire on the part of the board to have greater alignment between the strategic plan and the LCAP. So we've been talking at Cabinet about how we might do that. And currently, the LCAP is actually on a three-year cycle. And every year it gets updated, but every 3 years it undergoes a comprehensive overhaul. So in cabinet yesterday, we were talking that maybe what we do is maybe we move that strategic plan event where we bring in all the community members to align it with the development of the LCAP. So what it might look like is in the spring, before the LCAP undergoes a comprehensive overhaul, we do the strategic plan, and the goals are developed, et cetera, and then in the fall, that work would begin on the development of the LCAP. And then, so the strategic plan process actually would happen then every 3 years instead of every year. So I wanted to put that out there as something to consider. We had talked about it greatly in cabinet with Charles and Dan, and we just talked about it yesterday, actually. And we feel that that is probably something that would better align the two pieces, and we would really be working for one LCAP.
So the fundamental frustration that I have is that both the strategic plan and the LCAP does a wonderful job of putting things on paper as far as what would be great to have, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes the strategic goals as opposed to the driving goals, right, the specifics, are written in a way that it can be accomplished without realizing any real change.
No.
If you understand what I'm saying, create a plan to do X. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you create a plan. Wonderful. Check it off, we did wonderful. Same thing with LCAP, right? We recognize the things we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I'd like to see is a way that we could all create an accountability metric that works on what's produced,
okay.
the change that actually happens,
mm-hmm.
not all the verbiage that goes on with the create, right? Implement. Okay, well, we kind of got implemented, but 10 people took advantage of it. Well, what can we do to really affect the change? Right? And that's, I think, the bottom line. We've tried many ways to say, okay, maybe we need to focus a little bit more on what we need to do. We've done a good job of that, and we've done a great job of documenting and communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Just haven't seen the change we need.
Okay. Another example of what Jen is saying is like we see often defined equity, and we do that work, but how do we know that is filtering down into the classroom so that children are having equal access? I know we use some surveys like the Youth Truth Survey, but I don't even know if that's really aligned and or correlated with teasing out that information. So it just needs to be, the work is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The activities are excellent. But like Jim is saying, how do we measure if this is really impacting student success?
Right.
And I don't know if we have that, and the only thing I can refer back to is TESPAC.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is it, is some of our students are not achieving. Their scores are remaining flat. They're the same students that we are not reaching. So that's my concern.
That's your concern. Okay.
Just a process. I was hoping we'd have the laptops, but we don't, and that's fine. Is it possible that we can have a copy of the strategic plan goals and all the updates that Charles has given us to this point? Can we get copies of that?
Sure.
I think that's a reference piece that we're going to need to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll print
to
that. Yeah.
Is that fair?
So,
And we also are you going to bring in the copies of the memo that you sent me, Kim?
I can. I'll make that now.
Yeah. So when we first started this, what I had sent to Luann. Because we are off on the timeline, right? We have a strategic plan timeline, we have an LCAP timeline, and they're all messed up, right? So originally I had sent her the superintendent template, which was CSBA template, the LCAP from this year, and the strategic plan, in the hopes that we could merge. So to Jim's point, if we actually had the documents here, we could probably see it better.
how to merge things together, but maybe you're not going to do it that way, and that's fine. But those are the three documents that I had given Luann to look at.
Okay, yeah, and if you want those, I'm sure Johanna can make copies of all of them.
Which ones?
What, strat plan. Tell her again, Bonnie, what
and
the superintendent template without the comments, just the template.
Okay.
The LCAP from this year, well, that we're working on currently, and the strategic plan.
Okay.
They're three different things, and they have three different timelines, and that's part of the thing that Luann and I were talking about is the timelines don't match up for those things, and then it's hard to have metrics.
Yeah, and I'm going to say to you, it's fine, and we can have those. I do have copies of all those documents, and I've been working with Kathy. I'm going to show you the CSBA template when we get into closed session, because it is slightly different than yours, so I think we can talk about which works well moving forward. Some of the things that you're bringing up, I think that Kathy and her cabinet have already worked on, and she's provided a document that's appropriate for closed session to kind of share, I think, some of the concerns that you had. So at this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, I think the feedback that she would like, and we can talk about how those goals have been merged in when we go into closed session, and you can see whether or not it's what you're looking for. I believe it is, but I could be wrong. So what I think Kathy wants from you in open session is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is does this new plan work moving forward?
Conceptually, does it work to move our strategic plan process to occur every 3 years before the development of the LCAP?
So that sounds fine. You always want to look out ahead, right?
Right.
But how do you measure it every year? Because what you don't want to have is year one, everything looks like it's on track. Year two, everything looks like it's on track. Year three, God forbid, you have failure, right? Mm-hmm. So everything looked great because you didn't, there wasn't really anything substantial to measure, right? Because to me, it's like you need to measure to see if you're getting to goals. So I'm sure in many places when you have projects, you have milestones, right? Did you achieve milestones at certain times? Are they measurable? Did they affect change? Right? So you want to see incremental change each step of the way. So no problem with three-year goals, but do you have measurable breakpoints within those 3 years to say, yes, we're on target, yes, we're seeing incremental? Because to do all the work and have no material, tangible result until the third year, budgets could knock that all out. All of a sudden, you don't have the money you need, whatever the case might be, and then you have all these reasons why you didn't reach those goals.
Can I add to it? I would advocate that a transition to aligning the two would be helpful in the sense that right now the LCAP goals are the strategic plan goals. So last year when we shifted the strategic plan goals, we had to reshift and realign the LCAP goals.
Exactly.
So it created a document that had a lot of different mapping within it. The thing that I like about the LCAP is it asks for our greatest strengths, our greatest challenges. It aligns metrics that go along with each of the goals within the LCAP. So you'll see those updates on a yearly basis as we go through. You'll see the metrics built within based on our anticipated growth measures. So I think it perhaps has a nice opportunity to align resources to make sure that the goals that we set in the strategic plan actually get accomplished.
But can they be measured every year?
So every time we bring an update to the board, there's the newest data, there's the newest successes, there's the upfront about what our challenges are. So yes, I think so.
I need some clarification about the strategic plan, and you would know, do other districts have a strategic plan, or is this something that is an evergreen thing?
No, well, prior to LCAP, a great many districts had strategic plans.
Exactly.
It was pretty common. And once LCAP came into existence, it was passed as a state law, and districts were operating under long-term strategic plans, so suddenly they were caught with two plans, just the way you have. That is a real common occurrence. And the movement has been to try and in align the two, because nobody wants to be pulled in two separate directions. So that's a work in progress in different places across the state.
And I can add, that's our story. We're going through a conversion this year. So we're trying to create one document for the same thing.
So you're not in a unique situation. You're like, this is what's going on. And the problem, of course, is that everyone wanted to do long-term planning. That was a wise thing to do. And get the community input, as you've done. That's an important piece, because the board is here to represent the community and the community's wants and desires in West Angeles. And so this was something that was commonly done across the state. And then suddenly the legislature and the governor, in their wisdom, created this new plan and superimposed it on us. So I think that Evergreen is not an unusual place. Everybody's dealing with that kind of transition. So Charles.
Just to kind of jump off of what Dan was saying, and in response to Jim's concern, what works about the LCAP process is there's a fluidity to it. And there's this yearly consultation and ongoing process, which has allowed us to your point, to adjust if we need to adjust within the framework of it. So it doesn't change the overall goals, but it does give us the flexibility to kind of arc if we need to. If we need to build in different ways of measuring or different measurabilities, we can do that. And because of the nature of the sort of cycle that it goes through, we can address that and kind of adjust. What's problematic, or certainly in the last couple of years has been more problematic, is, and I think it's what Bonnie said, like when we go into a process for the strategic plan, sometimes we get completely jerked off of where we were. It's like, you know, like we were on a path, and suddenly we're in a completely different trajectory because of the nature of the people in that room and the priorities that bubble up, and there's different voices get heard differently, just given the nature of the moderation or what have you. And it can be very whim based. And what we saw 2 years ago was we got just yanked off of the LCAP trajectory into a very different direction, which meant we had to scramble on this end to accommodate those new priorities, and it changed the nature of the LCAP. So instead of working with the LCAP, it was almost working against it. And I felt it viscerally for me, because the previous year we'd had a whole section from the LCAP that related to communications, outreach, parent outreach and whatnot. 2 years ago, that entire section was dropped from the strategic plan. And I realized that when I was reporting, I had nothing to report on that pertained to my work. And so I felt I was very conscious of it because of that. But it was an example. I mean, that's just selfish about me. But it was an example of how much it had changed the nature year in, year out of what we were doing, and how much it had ceased to align with the way the LCAP was set up. So by aligning the two, or at least we can build those measurements in, but we can then move together. So
can I add one?
Sure.
So all this is good, and we need strategic aspirational goals in our strategic plan, and LCAP is about the oral district. We should not forget the fact that this is also to evaluate the superintendent.
Right, exactly. Right?
And not all goals there, just like the president doesn't affect the economy directly. There are only so many things that the most effective superintendent, if we had a superstar superintendent, still, in a tactical one-year horizon, the superintendent can only so much.
Right, exactly.
Number one. And number two, there are different goals, right? As part of the governance team, there are certain goals that the superintendent has that doesn't show up in the strategic plan or the LCAP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So I also want to understand how we create a framework that draws from strategic plan or LCAP, mm-hmm. hopefully one document. If we align everything together, maybe we have one document. But then to figure out the right goals to evaluate the person holding that seat.
And that's what we're going to do
in
closed
session. That's important, right?
That's exactly what we're
Otherwise, doing. We end up talking about LCAP and strategic plan and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, we have a document that is very similar to what we deal with today, which is all these aspirational goals
mm-hmm.
with no tie to metrics.
Okay, and that's that. we're not going to get into detail on that, mm-hmm. because that's the discussion we're going to have once we're in closed session.
That's fine, but
yeah, and that's
I would
the
think that is an artifact that we want to produce at the end of the day.
That is exactly why we're here.
Thank
okay,
you.
So Deb,
I just wanted to interject something because I hear sort of a theme going on, and this happens a lot in sessions that I work with. What I hear Mr. Zito saying, what I hear you saying, is that it's really hard for you as board members to communicate to your public and to your parents what you're doing that's working, right? So how are we spending the money, and is it working? Is it working to affect children? And so it looks like you're looking for a solution to come up with a simple way that you can look at benchmarks. We want to do A. Let's just say, as an example, we want to increase graduation rate, right? That's one of our goals, and you've given that to the superintendent as a goal. What does that look like? Is it going from 80% to 90% in a 3-year period, and what are the benchmarks along the way? So when you think about all this stuff, it's very complex to the average person out on the street. Think about thinking about your goals in real simple ways that you can communicate, because I think that's the biggest challenge, is being able to communicate how you're spending the money and if it's really making a difference.
So, and I think that's Deb's point is well taken. One of the things you can do is develop some speaking points about what's been achieved each year, and I think, you know, that's something you might want to look at in the future. So I saw Bonnie and then Jim. Yeah.
So the problem that we're trying to solve for it is that the strategic plan, it has been developed by a variety of stakeholders. And it's whim. It's whatever the people decide to do in the room, right? So what we're trying to do here is develop an evaluation that's based on the LCAP, which has clearly defined metrics. It doesn't mean that every 3 years we're going to look at the metrics. We're going to look at the metrics every year based on the LCAP, which has clearly defined metrics. What we're changing here is how the community gets involved in the process. That's actually what we're changing. Because previously, our strategic plan every year was a way that we brought the community stakeholders together, and now we're thinking of how to change that. But the baseline for what the metrics are, to Jim's point, is going to be the LCAP, right? So that's a difference. Plus, we're going to add a component on board superintendent relations and things like that, right? So that's the shift, is moving away from a WIM-based goal to an LCAP-based goal, right?
Yeah. And my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's been work done so that the goals, there's one set of goals now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the goals are the same. And then if you use what I hear Bonnie saying, the metrics from the LCAP, then you've got your measurable goals. And then in closed session, we'll talk about how do you tie the superintendent evaluation into that. And I'm going to caution you not to get into that conversation because this is a personality.
But the one thing that we do need to talk about is heretofore, every year in August, the community has known that we're going to do this strategic plan process.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the question moving forward is, okay, how do we then gather community, and we do it through the LCAP already, but how do we make a strategic plan process that's going to really capture community input so it doesn't look like we're distanced from the community?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, because every year there's this expectation that we all come together.
So the concept is to move that public meeting to the LCAP planning time, correct?
Is that
what you're looking at, Kathy?
But maybe not. I mean, that's the question.
Or maybe instead of the strategic plan, if we combined it, maybe that would be a good time to call the community in and say, hey, these are some of the things we have accomplished based on the LCAP and where we are and where we're going, and get their feedback on how we are doing and what they're seeing. Maybe it ought to be just like a share out of where the district is and where we're moving and where we, you know, instead of that.
I think it
could be something like that. I don't know.
I think it will probably require a different approach to the development of the strategic plan.
Yeah.
Because what we've done in the past is, you know, Marilyn Snyder has come in and we've worked with her and it's been very efficient. But I don't know that it's comprehensive enough when you're talking about an actual LCAP development.
Yep.
So yeah,
right.
To your point, I think it would probably require us to go out and say, here's where we are, here's what has been accomplished with the past 3 years with the LCAP.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're looking at overhauling it.
Mm-hmm.
Where give us some input as to where you think we need to go.
Continue.
Yeah, what we keep and what we change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Most likely, most of that.
Okay, and Jim's been waiting very patiently for a long time, so let's.
I think this is all great at the 10,000 foot level, but we deal with the day-to-day, right? And I'm not trying to take anything away from the 10,000. We have to have that. I think everything that was discussed to this point sounds fantastic. What I want to understand is how do you integrate the day-to-day dynamic metrics that we have to deal with, for instance, declining enrollment, okay? Many of the times we come up with LCAP goals that say we need to put together, for instance, mental health, we need to put together English language learning, we need to put together this, this, and this. And then when we said, how are we going to get there, we said, well, we really don't have the amount of funds we need to implement it to the level that we need to implement it, so we're going to implement a small part, right? And so how do we deal with, for instance, getting to the heart of, you know, there's a leak in the boat, we need to deal with the leak in the boat. Yeah, we know where the boat's going, we know how to get there, but there's a leak in the boat. How are we going to deal with that, right? And so declining enrollment, budget, you know, one of the goals could be something like, you know, just a more accurate budget forecast, right? And that's so hard because it's a it's you know, shooting, you know, the herding cats, right? You don't really know. So, but how do you get those kinds of metrics into a strategic or goal or a LCAP? Because that's the heart of everything. Mm-hmm. If you don't have kids, you don't have money. The rest of it's just wallpaper.
So any reaction to that question? Budget, as we all well know, is not in our hands, and it changes from year to year based on what the governor and the legislature decide to do, and we don't control it, so it's really hard to say. I mean, I understand that your declining enrollment impacts your budget, obviously, and that's something to be addressed, but the overall state budget, your portion of it, is not under any of our control. Yes, Sylvia?
To add to that is the fact that we need to have the way schools are funded needs to change, especially when dropping enrollment is going across the state, not just us, and it's going across the country. So we need to have a different way of funding, not per pupil, but a different way of funding schools that are going to succeed. Otherwise, where a lot of schools are going to be going under.
Right.
And that's where CSBA has always been good about lobbying, having someone to sponsor legislation. And it is, that's the fact that we're at the mercy of the governor. I was not happy with the governor, with the LCAP, because he took millions of dollars from us when he gave us the 67 cents per dollar, and he took the other 33 cents. And he never gave that money back to us. Had he given it back to the district, we would have been made at least somewhat whole. Trying to be whole to 2008, 8 years later or 10 years later is ridiculous. We're still limping right along.
But how do we deal with it? We are given, I agree with you completely, Lorraine.
Yeah,
we're given what we're given. So we, as the trustees of this district, are basically empowered and expected to make the best of what we have.
That's right.
It is what it is, right? So how do we build in those dynamic challenges into a strategic plan or an LCAP that says, okay, you know, we wanted to do X, but we don't have $3 million to do that, and here's the reason why. How do we, because we're not going to get I don't believe that the average person out there, the person that I represent, is interested in the minutiae.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to know how you're going to get the money. They just want to know that you're getting it done,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if that means that we have to go out and create a campaign to get more kids in our school, because where our kids are going is we're having our lunch eaten by all the other competition that's out there. There's no question about it. So how do we go and compete, right? How do we build those things into a strategic plan to mitigate, not necessarily eliminate, but mitigate these impacts?
Well, it's a different meeting. We're not going to be able to achieve that today. And I wish I had the answers for you.
And the superintendent can't cure that either.
So what I'm going to say to you, Jim, is that this is an issue. Your LCAP's been adopted for the year. It's a done deal,
mm-hmm.
and you guys voted on it and approved it, and it's moved forward.
So those
forward.
Are our metrics.
So when I think that these are issues that you need to take note of, and as you move forward into the next year, and start using this time as you move into the next year to talk about them, and how can we incorporate some goals that are going to affect the kind of change you're looking for as we move into next year. Because these aren't things that are going to come to anybody in a snap of a finger. these are things you need to be looking at moving forward. And I think that that's exactly what the LCAP is supposed to do, is to design a connection between your budget and the goals. And so I think it's important for you to be looking at that. It's not a problem we can solve today, and but I think it's an important thing for you to continue to address. And Bonnie?
So I think one of the goals for today, if I'm not mistaken, is to actually look at the LCAP and try later on. So on a process question, the LCAP is 400 pages. I mean, the LCAP is very long.
Yeah.
So for you, for us every year, how do we take that LCAP and turn it into manageable, task-oriented goals that are meaningful? That's a question for you. Like, it's very big. So how do we, for a superintendent evaluation, take a chunk out of that and turn it into goals without it being either meaningless, like Jim's saying, or being too minutia?
And I think we need to look at that as we get into close.
It's a process question, right? Like every year, I'm assuming, every year we're going to do this process here in July. We're going to look at the LCAP, and we're going to determine X goals for the year based on strong metrics. So of that big document, how do we whittle it down to determine which are those, you know, how are those goals met, right?
Sarah, and I think we've got to start here as we move forward today. So I'm going to have you look at that when we get into closed session, and then we can have conversations about whether or not that meets your needs. Does that sound fair to everybody? Okay. Anything else on the general topic? And does Kathy and her team have your approval to kind of look at altering the process so that it is an integrated process? Was that moving forward with the LCAP and the strategic plan? Okay, that was the question. So, I think as you move forward, looking at whether your criteria is what you need or not, and talking about those conversations as the criteria is developed. So,
and are we also talking about a timeline too? In addition to a document, we're also talking about how to integrate the timeline. Are we going to be talking about?
Is that the timeline? The LCAP timeline?
No, like, so there's the document which informs our goals, and then there's the timeline of how we do things and how we bring the community, blah, blah, blah. So are we doing both of those today? Are we looking at, okay, the timeline
today
and the document?
We're just talking conceptually here today. We'll develop,
okay.
You know, I said it's probably going to require an overhaul of our strategic plan process.
Okay.
So we will now go work and develop some kind of a timeline and be able to show you what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, so if there's conceptual agreement, then they'll do the work.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you all. I think that was a good conversation. I'm sure that your staff members have appreciated hearing your thoughts on this topic. So, Sylvia, I think we're ready to move on down the agenda.
Okay. I have a point of order. Since the closed session is not listed on this agenda.
Yes, it is.
I'm just trying to be polite here, you know, please.
Yeah.
It says it's not listed. If you look at it, it's not listed.
Number six.
Okay. In other words, I want to make this nice for you. Number six is with Terra Realty as well. And so I've attended these for 4 years as a parent. So we're under the assumption that you're going to meet with Terra Realty later, and that's in the sixth block, the number six block. You know what I mean? Like, we're not sure what's going on here as parents, you know? So we thought that the Terra, it says six Terra Realty, you know, it's all grouped together, 6.1. So in that case, I'd like my 3 minutes to speak to 6.1, which is confusing. You're going to go into 6.1, so I guess right now, is that correct?
No,
we're
not going into closed session.
We are going in.
Oh,
we're
right.
Going into closed session. I think the next thing on the agenda was you're announcing future meetings, and then we're going into closed session.
Well, before you go to closed session, we're allowed to speak.
Yeah.
So I'll fill out my speaker card.
So you have an item you would like to address that is on the closed session agenda.
Yes, I do, and it's very. I want to make this kind to you, Sarah. It's extremely confusing for parents what you're doing, so you're really not going to get much parent involvement. Yes, I'll fill it out now. I've given one to her already, so I'll put 6.1 here.
But this says 4.1.
Yes, but apparently we're done with 4.1.
Okay, Mr. Larson.
I don't know really what you're doing, but I wanted to speak.
First of all, in closed session, we are giving the authority to talk about those items as confidential.
I get to speak before you go into
school.
I'm going to leave. You get to talk to that privately, but I want to speak before you go to closed session.
Go ahead, start.
Okay, I can start. Okay. So in the closed session item that I'm speaking to, because I have to be very focused, I'm not just talking here about all kinds of things, it's on item 6.1, public employee performance superintendent evaluation. Okay, I believe this needs to be made more public so that the public knows how you're evaluating the superintendent. Okay? So I talked to a lot of parents, I talked to many teachers, I talked to a lot of classified people. And you might say, why are you talking to so many people? Because they're afraid. They come to me as a parent, and they go, hey, Mr. Larson, I do a lot of speaking at the school board member meetings. I shop in the store. People walk up to me while I'm shopping and stuff like that. So we have a problem with the complete lack of communication with evaluating the superintendent. And, for example, what I would like to see is a survey done on the health and wellness of our school district. And that can be done with a SurveyMonkey. It can be created by the school board, and it says, dear parent, how do you rate our school district? Do you have any open comments? And then that should go unchanged to the school board members. It shouldn't be stirred around and adjusted, and I call it mirage talk, where you take something and you mirage talk it, then you got an idea of what it was talking about, but you're not really sure what it meant. So that should go to the school board members, the evaluation of specific questions with the health and wellness of our school district. Number two, it's really important on superintendent evaluation. I suggested 2 years ago that the LCAP be combined with the strategic planning, and I'm the only one who attended the strategic planning as a parent. I'm the only parent.
It's not true.
And there was only one. One or two teachers, and they asked me, Kevin, can you get more teachers into the strategic planning because we're not represented? So I know my point is, the strategic plan, before you go into your closed session, needs to be put with the LCAP on the same day. And Marilyn Schneider and all that money we pay her need to be grooved into the LCAP. And forget the strategic plan on that separate day with that separate meeting. It's called a retreat, but it takes place here, which is confusing to the general public because we think it's somewhere else. I'm just letting you know. That took me 2 years to figure out. So we take the Marilyn Schneider. We say, look, we're going to pay you. We're going to pay you the same amount of money, but you're going to come with 500 people. And those are going to be the people that care in this district. And we're no longer having a strategic plan. We're going to have the LCAP, and then we're going to have a bracket. And they'll say, including strategic plan. And the Schneiders of the world have to come to that meeting with the 500 people and go to work and figure out how to make that LCAP come alive. And again, no offense, but the last LCAP, the superintendent was not there. Was not there, I think the year before. And one more comment. I was at another LCAP meeting at Cheboya Middle School. There was 500 chairs set up. I was the only parent. There might have been one more. But I was the only parent. 500 chairs at a middle school, Cheboya Middle School. I was the only parent show up. But I had I'm almost done. I had the solution. Send out half sheet reminders to all the parents in the weekly mail.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Okay. Thank you, and I hope you'll consider those nice, important points, and I hope you'll make the communication more understandable for the parents.
Thank you very much.
Or we're at a loss with how you're running things. Not just me,
but many.
Just
in case you guys wanted to get the LCAP.
Oh, then you have to print it out.
Super.
Oh, okay. That's easier.
Yeah. The forest, thank you.
Yeah, we don't like printing things out. Yes. We like everything digital now.
So they're going close.
They have their own vision.
Yeah.
I didn't
get a letter.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Charles.
I want to miss out something.
Sylvia needs to actually announce the closing.
I'm just trying to be efficient.
Yeah, she's Sylvia, would you announce we're going into closed session?
We are now going into closed session, so
good.
Get ourselves prepared. With the bathroom, with the bathroom.
Do you want to take a bathroom
break? Yes,